Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
I want to read to you several passages of Scripture. The first from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, the Holy Spirit caused Paul to write, "Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." Notice in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12 a similar thought, "that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul urged that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And then in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Now you'll notice in these passages, and there are many others that could be multiplied, here is the term walk. It has reference to the way we live. It has reference to our manner of life, our lifestyle, if you please. Our Christian service. Being a Christian is presented to us, brethren, in Scripture in a variety of ways. Sometimes it's presented as more than a walk. It's a race to be won, a run, and a prize that awaits us to be won. Sometimes it's presented as a warfare. We're to fight the good fight of faith. Serving God and living as a Christian is like working in a vineyard or as building a building. Now, in these passages that I've just read to you, it's presented to us as a walk. It is a journey, step by step. We are sojourners. We are pilgrims. We are passing through. We are here today, but we're on our way somewhere else. And Paul says that he had showed them how they ought to walk and to please God. And by the inspired word of God, brethren, we learn how we ought to walk, how we ought to live, what should be characteristic of our manner and behavior in day-to-day life, in all of our circumstances. And the important thing is to please God. That's the way we're to walk. Here is our prime allegiance. Here is where our loyalty is. Here is our first priority in the way that we live, to please God. Paul said, "If I strove to please men, I wouldn't be a servant of Jesus Christ." But again, he urged the people in Ephesus to not serve God with eye service, but doing the will of God from the heart. In Acts 5 and verse 29, the apostles told those that we even commanded them to cease their preaching of Christ, we ought to obey God rather than men. They're not averse to being pleasing in the sight of others, but never at the expense of sacrificing being pleasing to God. Now that's what being a Christian is. Is being pleasing to God. In the Bible, we read of this expression of walking in a number of different senses. I want to just look at three this morning with you. Walking with God, walking before God, and walking after God. And though they are certainly related and intertwined one with the other, each has a singular meaning. And all of them combined have a meaning and a lesson for us as we strive to be Christians. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, we read about a man named Enoch. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. Now the words "walk with God" presents to us a picture of being near to God, being in the presence of God. Having a companionship with God, we indeed have fellowship with God. We're going along through life side by side, in step with Him, hand in hand, heart in heart, He in us, us in Him. That's what it is to walk with God. In Luke chapter 24, and this thought was suggested in one of the phrases of a song that we just sang a moment ago. We read about these men on the road to Emmaus. They were walking along discussing the events that had transpired surrounding the resurrection of Christ. And we learned there that they were communing one with the other. They were talking together. They were walking together. This is what we are privileged to enjoy with Almighty God. Sometimes, dear friend, we read about people getting ahead of God and therefore they lose that fellowship. The Bible student will recall the time of Moses when early in his years he saw an Egyptian abusing an Israelite, one of his fellow countrymen. And what did he do? Well, he slew the Egyptian. The next day he went out and found two of his brethren at odds one with the other. What a unique situation. But they were at odds one with the other. And he didn't kill either one of them. He told them they were brethren. They ought not be fighting like that. And the Bible says he supposed that they understood that God was going to make him their deliverer. But the time had not come yet for Moses to make his move, if you please, to be the deliverer of Israel. He had gotten out a little bit ahead of God, and therefore he was unsuccessful. In Leviticus chapter 10, we read about two priests, one named Nadab and another named Abihu. They got out ahead of God. It was their responsibility to take fire from the proper place and to use it in the sacrifices. But the Bible says they got strange fire, which the Lord commanded not. They were presumptuous. They assumed that what they were doing would be all right, though they were substituting for what God had commanded them to do. They just took it upon themselves to do their own thing, which is so characteristic of so many in the religious world today. And God destroyed them because of it. They got out ahead of God doing unauthorized things. In 2 John verse 9, we learn, the American Standard Version, whosoever goeth onward, that's getting out ahead of God, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. And just like sometimes, dear people, we can get out ahead of God, sometimes we can drag too far behind God. Remember about the Apostle Peter. When Christ was seized, he and all the others forsook Christ. But the Bible tells us that Peter followed him afar off. Now we might commend him for following him at all, but he followed him at such a distance that Christ couldn't be of any help to him, and he couldn't be of any help to Christ. In fact, he was following so far behind it was tantamount to a rejection of Christ and a refusal to own his acquaintance. Brethren and friends, in order to walk with God, we must be in agreement with God. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 teaches, shall two walk together except they have agreed? It's our responsibility to agree with God. And you can't do that when you don't know what God wants you to know. In our Bible class this morning, there was an emphasis upon study and learning the will of God. How are you going to be able to agree with somebody on anything, I care not what the subject matter might be, if you don't even know what their attitude, what their opinion, what their thinking, what their knowledge is? And doubtless many people today who would like to be in fellowship with God do not walk with God and are not in agreement with God because they haven't taken the time and expended the effort to come to a knowledge of what the will of God is. We're to walk with God, but that requires knowledge of God. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, when the apostles were brought before the Sanhedrin, and there they were challenged in the things that they were doing. They were very bold in standing up for the things of God, and the enemies and the oppressors took note that they had been with Jesus. They were walking with God through Christ. We read about Enoch again, going back to him. He walked with God some 300 years. This was in the days when the longevity of man was far extended beyond now. In Genesis 5, verse 22, he says he walked with God, and this was after the time, or beginning with the time of the birth of his son, Methuselah. Those of us who are fathers, all of us who are men, those of us who are blessed to have children, let's take note. Methuselah never knew a day in his father's existence here upon this earth that his father did not walk with God. I think that's highly significant. Can our children say as much of us that they had never known a day except that their father walked with God? We sing that beautiful hymn, "I come to the garden alone, and he walks with me, and he talks with me." The emphasis of fellowship with God. We sing also, "All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee." Companionship, friendship, in unity and agreement with God. But the term is also found repeatedly of walking before God. The first time is in Genesis 17 and verse 1, when God was talking to Abraham, and he told Abraham that he was to walk before God. He would not only be in the presence of God, but he would be in the inspection of God. God would observe him. God would know what he did, where he went, even directing his sojourn through this life. He would be as soldiers are. Many of you have been in the armed services. You know this far more than those of us who have never served in that capacity. That you oftentimes would stand in inspection. Some superior would come along and he would observe you. He would inspect you. He would check on you. While we buy clothes, we stand in front of the mirror, we inspect those things. Those of you who work on assembly lines, you produce products, you know that every company has those who inspect the work to detect the flaws, to see if things are as they ought to be. And that's the way God is with us. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3 we read, "For the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Isaac once told his servant that they walked before God. In the book of Isaiah, Hezekiah says this to God, "Remember me now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." Friend, to think upon the idea that we walk before God, with God inspecting us, I suggest that is very sobering. But it is also very soothing. We realize that God sees us. God knows us. He observes us. We should be conscious of His presence and of His oversight. That every deed, indeed every thought, every word, every action, every motive is made manifest before God. We might be able to hide things from one another, but there is nothing that is hid from the eyes of the Almighty. And while that should sober us and cause us to stand in awe and reverence, indeed fear of the Lord, it is also consoling. It is comforting. It is reassuring to us, because we know we walk before God, and that He will protect us, He will observe us. He will provide for us. He is aware of us. He understands us. And dear friend, that is a very comforting thing. And we are blessed and we are so privileged to have a God that does watch over His people. Many of you will recall the name of a man named B.C. Goodpasture, gospel preacher of the past, very faithful gospel preacher. He used to tell the story about himself and his father. He lived out in the country on a farm. He said in the afternoon when the sun was up, oft times he would go to the barn with his father, and he would allow the father to go ahead. He didn't mind dragging behind a little bit. He was coming along. He wasn't afraid of anything. It was bright as day, of course. He said sometimes they would stay until it became dark. And said when they started back and it was dark, said he didn't lag behind. In fact, he got right in front of his father. His father could see him. His father could watch him. He said, if anything in the dark was going to jump out at me, Daddy was going to be right there to protect me. And that's what it is to walk before God. And that's what we as children of God have as one of the great blessings of this life, which we would not exchange for all the paltry offerings of this present world. And then there's the thought of walking after God. In Deuteronomy 13 and verse 4, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him, and then he tells us how that's done, and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. Now, to walk after God conveys the idea of following God. The direction that God would go, He is the leader and we are the follower. We read many times in the Bible the phrase of walking in God's ways. The Israelites were urged not to walk in the ways of Jeroboam, but to walk in the ways of God, to walk in the law of God, to walk uprightly, to walk in truth, to walk in the old paths, to walk the way of holiness, to walk in the ways of good men. What's it talking about? Well, here's the way you're supposed to live. Here's the way you're to conduct your daily affairs, your daily associations. Here is your priority. That establishes your goal in life. Whichever way God goes, where He leads, I will follow. And there's another beautiful sentiment that we often sing in our songs of praise, and this is our commitment unto the Lord. Where He leads, we are to follow. And dear people, who is not aware of the fact of the danger of following the wrong leader? There's a danger in that in so many things, but it is certainly dangerous in matters of the Spirit. And Christ warned, if the blind lead the blind, you know the outcome, they both shall fall into the pit. Some number of years ago, when we lived up north, where it snowed 12.5 months a year, it seemed like. Remember the story of a man in a snowstorm who almost lost his life. He was blinded due to the snow, blowing and snowing. He couldn't see the road, but one thing he could see were two red lights of a truck up in front of him. And so he followed that truck. And suddenly the lights of the truck were gone. And he fortunately stopped just in time. That truck had gone off an embankment. The danger of following blindly the wrong leader. We can always be sure, friend, that when we follow Christ, we're following the right one and we're going the right direction and we have the proper goal in mind. That's not true, and we speak not disparagingly of following parents. That's not true always when you follow your parents, or your teachers, or preachers, or elders, or husbands, or wives, or children, except as they follow Christ. Paul said, be ye imitators of me as I am of Christ. Christ is the ultimate leader we are to follow. Moses warned his people, follow not the multitude to do evil. Solomon began with such a glorious potential to be a great king in the kingdom that David had created. But Solomon was led astray and into idolatry. Why? Because he followed the evil, heathenistic ways of his many wives. One great contributing factor to the ultimate destruction of northern Israel and southern Judah was because they followed the nations round about. And is it not apparent? Doesn't everyone here see and notice that there are so many in our world that are going the broad way that leadeth to destruction? They are following in the ways of sin. They are catering to their own lust, their own greed, their own ambitions. They are following the doctrines and the religious organizations that have come from the minds of men. They are following their feelings. They are following their consciences. Friend, that is not whom we are to follow. Jesus Christ left us an example that we should follow in His steps. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, "He that saith he abideth in Him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Let's get the full impact of that statement, dear people. This is inspired writing here. If we contend, if we claim that we're followers of Christ, then show it by the way we live. That's what John is teaching us. Here's the way Christ did. Here was His attitude. Here was His behavior. This is the way He associated with people. This is what He stood for. This is what He stood against. If we profess to be His followers and His disciples, so should we be as He was. And such hypocrisy is to pretend to be a follower of Christ, but refuse to walk the path that He tread. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light," look at the great condition there. If we are walking as He did, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But you see, the condition, dear people, is not only just coming to Christ, which is all important, without which we certainly cannot be saved, but it is to continue to walk, to sojourn, to live, to conduct your manner of life like Christ. How are you going to do that when you don't know what His will is? And once you know what that will is, how are you going to do that without the commitment, without the determination, without the steadfastness, without the faithfulness of keep on keeping on, striving, though knowing it's not to perfection, but being faithful, walking your life like Christ would have you to live? Is that what we're doing? Is that what we're striving for? This is a question for each one, of course, to consider and answer for himself unto God. But here are these expressions: walk with God, having a fellowship and companionship with Him. Walking before God, realizing that He is the observer, He is the judge, as well as our protector. And walking after God, to follow in His ways, knowing what His ways are, living obediently in the way that God has given us to live. And when you put these three expressions together, to walk before God, which we cannot escape, but to walk before Him acceptably and to receive His care, we must walk with God and be in agreement with God. And to be in agreement with God means that we must walk after God, follow His commandments. I think that we could probably say with some summation that what He is teaching us here is that when we walk with the Lord, We must trust and obey. That's our responsibility. That's the message that we need to have impressed upon our hearts every day that we live. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, or 2 Thessalonians it is, Paul talked about those that walked disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. The tradition he's talking about there is the apostolic tradition. The tradition he's talking about is the inspired message that was handed down from the apostles to others. And those who did not so walk, Paul said they are to be withdrawn from. Which gives, again, emphasis to the commandment of Christ, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Friend, for those who have never come to Christ, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. You must repent of your sins. You must confess your faith in Christ. You must obey the command of Christ to be baptized for the remission of sins, at which time you're baptized into the body of Christ, His church, which simultaneously you're baptized into Christ where salvation is. That's the message of the Bible. And there's no man anywhere that can find a biblical exception to that. Nowhere. That is the message of God. The trouble is, people like sometimes the blessings of God, but they don't want to walk after God. They don't want to walk with God, all right. And they don't take seriously enough the fact that they are walking before God, but they must walk after God. And one who has never come to Christ, that's what it is to follow after Christ. But those who have once come, but have wandered away, dear friend, they must repent of their sins and confess their waywardness, their sinfulness, and then take advantage of the privilege of prayer that God has provided for their restoration. I close the lesson this morning on walking with God, living the way that God would have us to live. That if you have never begun that walk, you begin by obeying the gospel. If you've once begun and faltered along the way, you resume that walk through repentance, confession, and prayer. And if you have continued faithful to this good day in these things in your fellowship with God, I pray that you will continue your walk. And brethren, continue it in the knowledge, in the hope, in the assurance, thinking of our life here on earth as a journey, taking a step at a time. Always remember, each step I take will just lead me closer home. May we walk in the paths of God, brethren, today, this week, however long God might give us the privilege of life, whatever circumstance in which we might find ourselves, always God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, His Word, His Church, His way. And may we go that way, for it leads at last to heaven above.